So we're going to talk a little bit now about the Mittler Rebbe's communal affairs that he had to deal with, things that he had to do for the community. When Reb Dov Ber turned 15, his father introduced him to community work. In the beginning, the Alter Rebbe had his son write down copies of his Maimorim so they could be sent to different communities. The next year, when he was 16, he was appointed to be the Mashpia for the young men who were continuing to learn after they got married in Lubavitch. I'm sorry, not in Lubavitch, because this is before they moved to Lubavitch in Liozhna or Liadi. And with each passing year, he became more and more involved with the Chassidim. By the time he was 20, he was even in charge of Fabringing with the Elter Chassidim. In addition, he would also be called to Fabring whenever his father was traveling and not in Liozhna, so he would be the one Fabringing, like leading the Fabringing. You could see how involved he was with the community. You could see it from even the way he would write down his father's memorum. For the first few years, he wrote them almost exactly the way his father said them. However, he saw that not everyone understood the mimer the way it was said, and with his father's encouragement, he started to add his own explanations, and both when he wrote it and when he explained it in public. Now, when the Alter Rebbe was arrested for the first time, this is in 1798, so the Chassidim enlisted him to be a member of the committees that were working for the Alter Rebbe's freedom, and also to make sure that his work continues. After the Alter Rebbe got out from jail, the Mittler Rebbe's obligations were no longer just about teaching and explaining Chassidus. Now he was involved in bigger community things, meaning begashmias. At certain times, he would have to travel to different cities, right? Let's say the Alter Rebbe would have to travel, so he would go instead of his father. He would represent his father. During the last few years of his life, the Alter Rebbe gave his son the responsibility of saying his own Maimarim on a regular basis, as well as answering questions that the Chassidim would ask him in Yechidus. After the Alter Rebbe's Histalkus, the Chassidim were uncertain what would happen. Remember, we mentioned a lot of these things already until now, but now we're just putting it all together, things he did for the community. In addition to the question, who would be the new Rebbe, but they were all, that was one big problem. Another big problem was they were all poor. They had no one had any money. And the Misnagdim hoped that the Chassidim, as a community, would be so weak because of their poverty, along with their question about who should be the next Rebbe, that this would weaken the whole Chassidus. And in spite of this, the Mittler Rebbe's strong leadership strengthened the morale of the Chassidim, and the study of Chassidus became greater than before. In 1815, 2 years after Napoleon's defeat, Tsar Alexander himself visited the area to check out the situation. And all the officials in the area were invited to they made a reception, like a place where everyone could meet the Tsar. Now, knowing the gratitude the Tsar felt towards the Alter Rebbe, the governor invited two of the Alter Rebbe's sons, the Mittler Rebbe and his brother Reb Moshe, to be part of the delegation sent to greet the Tsar. It was at this time we mentioned about Reb Moshe that he, let's just say he was a very tough guy with his mouth, and he made fun of a whole bunch of stuff about Christianity. He got into a whole fight, and this got him into a whole bunch of trouble for the rest of his life. Now, probably the greatest community accomplishment that he did occurred a year after he became Rebbe, when he successfully petitioned the government to give the Yidden a large areas of land in Ukraine to live and set up farms. And as we said, these communities continued all the way till World War II. World War I already, they were starting to fall apart, but till World War II, they were still hundreds of thousands of Yidden there, until basically almost all of them were killed at the end. However, even after the petition was granted, we said many Yidden didn't want to move there, so we had to raise money to help them move and to buy farm equipment, things like that, to get them all started. He also told them he would visit them, and he did 1 year, but then he realized he can't do it every year, or even every other year. It's just too much time. So he sent to the Pillow Parisher instead, and he would be the permanent shliach of the Rebbe going to Ukraine, to Kherson, And as we said, he even passed away over there. Now, he never forgot about the Hasidim in Eretz Yisrael and Tzfas, and eventually most of them moved to Hebron. And he always helped them out till his histakos. Moving on to the Mittel Rebbe's Svarim. So as we mentioned before, the Mittel Rebbe is known for publishing more Hasidus than any other Rebbe besides for our Rebbe. In addition to saying a tremendous amount of Hasidus, he basically published a Sefer every single year. Now, just to make it clear, for any person, even today, to publish a Sefer every year, and today it's much easier than back then, that's considered very special. But besides that, he did it at a time when everybody was suffering from poverty, no one had money, and because of that, during his lifetime, the Mittel Rebbe was only able to publish half of, remember we said there's a Sefer called Teres Chaim in the Mittel Rebbe? He was only able to publish half of Bereishis in his lifetime. Eventually, the whole Bereishis came out, and then Shmois, and that's it. Now, the Rebbe Maharash, he basically summed up the importance of two of the Mittel Rebbe's most well-known Sfarim by saying that Shar HaYichud, this is a Sefer called Shar HaYichud, is the Mafteach. Mafteach is like the key to Chassidus, and Shar HaYichud is the Aleph Beis of Chassidus. Now, I never learned any of these things cover to cover. Shar HaYichud is not that long, but Shar HaYichud is really long. Basically, what Shar HaYichud is very interesting Sefer. It's basically like an encyclopedia. It's like a dictionary, but a dictionary just tells you the meaning of a word. An encyclopedia will give you much more information about it. So, for example, let's say you have something called Atzilus, right? He'll go and explain what is Atzilus, what happens over there, why is it different than other places. Now, Shar HaYichud, now another thing that it does, it tells you how creation happens, how from one world to the next, one thing goes to the next, and this is very important. Shar HaYichud are basically maimarim that are on Chanukah and Purim. And these maimarim, it was the first sefer to explain basic concepts in Chassidus, in details, and in an orderly fashion. So it was like a seder. It's never happened before. Now, you could ask, why does the Rebbe Maharash single out these two Svarim? The Mittel Rebbe did similar things in other Svarim. So the answer may have to do with a special practice that he had, that the Rebbe Maharash had. Since his whole life was geared towards spreading Chassidus, a practice that the Mittel Rebbe had. His whole life was about spreading Chassidus. So he wrote Svarim towards people with different levels of understanding for different and different concepts written in each Sefer. In fact, he wrote some of his Svarim, as we know, for individual Chassidim, from the simplest of the Chassidim to the smartest. Shar HaYichud and Shar HaYichud, like these two Svarim we mentioned, they're among the few Svarim that the Mittel Rebbe wrote for all Chassidim, not for individual Chassidim or for this group of Chassidim. So when the Rebbe Maharash wanted to refer to those of the Mittel Rebbe's Svarim that he considered to be like the classics that you must learn, he chose two that were written in a way that on a level could be understood by everyone. Shar HaYichud was published in 1820. Shar HaYichud was in 1822. Now, a number of his Svarim, because they were written for individual Chassidim or a specific group, so we're going to go through a few of those now. So one of them, which is actually an amazing Sefer, it's called Pekeach Ivrim. It's the first Sefer Chassidus ever published in simple Yiddish. Meaning back then everyone spoke Yiddish. It was basically designed for anyone to understand, even the simplest of people. And basically, it is a guide for a Baal Tshuva. How to do tshuva, what you should do once you become a Baal Tshuva. And it's believed, and I'm going to get to this story, the full story is going to be the next thing that we do. It's believed that Pekeach Ivrim was written to help Reb Shlomo Leib Gemansky in his process to do tshuva. Remember the Reb Yosef Balagola was a chassid who became a wagon driver. The Alter Rebbe, and he became a wagon driver at a very old age, and then he eventually was told to become a rav by the Tzemach Tzedek, I think, or the Middle Rebbe. I'm sorry, and he all to save this one yid from living a life that he should not have been living as. Then there's a sefer called Imre Bina, was written for Rabbi Kasiel Lepler, we said earlier. We also said that the Mittler Rebbe, one of his Hasidim, Reb Mordechai Yaffe, he told him to move to Hebron and he didn't want to go because he wanted to learn Hasidus. And the Mittler Rebbe told him, I'm going to send you stuff. So the way it's printed today, so the Maimorim that he sent to him, so some of them were published in part 3 of Imre Bina, and also a lot of them were published in Pirush Amilus, which explains different psukim on davening. Now, the Sefer Pirush Amilus wasn't published till way after 39 years after his Histalkus by the Mittler Rebbe's grandsons. Another Sefer is called Bad Kodesh. Bad Kodesh is fascinating. It's a letter that he wrote to the Russian Governor General during his arrest. And in this letter, he explains different concepts of Hasidus that even a smart guy would be able to understand. So you can imagine how exciting it is to read such a thing. Like, not exciting, but like interesting, the way he put the words. The Mittler Rebbe wrote other svarim. We don't know whether or not they were written for a specific person, or if it was, we don't know who the person was. So we mentioned Teres Chaim also, which the volumes on Bereishis and Shemais were published as with the name Teres Chaim. Now, the Mittler Rebbe's Maimarim on Chumash Shemais, by the way, were first printed in 1947, when the Rebbe was already in charge of Kahus. In 1985, you understand how many years this is since the Mittler Rebbe's Histalkus? About 150 years, more. From the Mittler Rebbe's Histalkus, in 1985, the Rebbe instructed that the Mittler Rebbe's Maimarim on the rest of the Torah should be printed. However, they weren't published under the name Teres Chaim. Instead, they were called Maimore Admor Hoimtsoi. Right? This is a whole big set. I think it's like 17 or 18 volumes. Some of the Mittler Rebbe's other well-known Svarim are Teres Reish, which is Maimarim on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. There's a sefer called Derech Chaim, which is also for to help people do tshuva, teach them about tshuva. Then there were the svarim that were not his own, but his father's svarim that he printed. So first of all, there was the Tanya that he added the last two parts, the Shulchan Aruch of the Alter Rebbe, Kuntris Ha'ispailus, Pekeach Ivrim, Siddurim Dach, Biuri HaZoyar. Okay. So that's it for the Svarim. We're now going to go through a list of some of his takanos that he made, his like decrees for the Chassidim. Number one, someone who learns all day long has to spend 3 of those hours learning Chassidus. Number two, and again, a lot of these we mentioned before, we're just putting it together all in one shot now. When someone returns from Lubavitch after being there for 2 or 3 months, however long he was there for, he must review what he heard there in every single Hasidish community that he passes along the way. Next, you are not allowed to get into an argument or even have a discussion, a nice discussion, with the Misnagdim about Hasidus unless the other person is really considering to become a Hasid. If you know they're just trying to mess with you, say goodbye. The fourth takana, every Chabad shul should have a cheder sheni. A cheder sheni is like a second room where Chassidim could daven. Like, let's say, in most shuls, as soon as davening's over, what happens? Everyone starts talking. Usually the kiddush is there also, unless you have like a kiddush room, whatever it is. And there's no quiet place for a guy to sit and daven. So a cheder sheni is a place where that could happen. It's unfortunately, because you know, space-wise, it's hard to get to such a thing these days in a lot of shuls. Now, next thing, even if someone can review and explain Maimorim beautifully, if he doesn't work on himself to make himself a better person, don't listen to him review Maimorim. He also mentioned he remade his father's takana, that Hasidim should daven carefully, word for word. And the last thing that we're going to mention, that Hasidim should be extremely careful to eat chicken or meat only if the chalif, the knife used for shechita, is according to the way the Alter Rebbe wanted it to be. Now, for Nagunim, the Mittler Rebbe himself did not compose any Nagunim, but he had a group of 80 musicians that were there that would compose a lot of songs, and he would have singers at Verbrengen's. Unlike the Alter Rebbe, who was an extraordinary Baal Menagen, the Mittler Rebbe did not make any Nagunim. However, there had to be Nagunim. So basically, it was a collection of musicians, what do you call a choir in Yiddish? A kapella, right? You know, like a cappella? You know why it's called a cappella? Because it's a Latin word. It means vocal, only using your voices, like a choir. So that's why the niggin that we always, the Mittler Rebbe's niggin, we call it the kapella niggin, even though he didn't make it up. Birkas Koyanim also. Ay, 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 ay. Was also composed by this kapella. Then there was a niggin that the Hasidim of the Mittler Rebbe would sing, that they, it was an interesting niggin that they used to hear the Russian peasants singing it, and they decided that, you know, this sounds like a good niggin, but we'll refer to different things than they are. And they started singing. Whenever they would visit the Rebbe, on the way, they would always sing this niggin. Niezurichi chlopchi. Don't worry, young guys. Shto sinami budyet, about what's going to become of us. Mi payedem dakar chamku, because we're going to come to the inn, to the kretschme. Tamya vodka budyet, and we're going to find mashke to drink over there. Right, so a guy singing this, he means it literally. Don't worry about life tomorrow. We're just going to go get drunk tonight. But when they sang it, the message was different. When we travel to the Rebbe, right? Don't worry, young ones, what's going to be about tomorrow. Right? We're traveling to the Rebbe. We have nothing to worry about. Because at the end of the trip, we're going to go to a kretschme over there. The innkeeper, the Rebbe. And over there, Tami vodka budyet. We're going to drink some mashke. We're going to drink from the living spring of Torah that's coming out of the Rebbe's mouth, the Chassidus that's coming out, and we're not going to be missing anything. Okay, moving on to the Mittler Rebbe's family. So his father was the Alter Rebbe. We're not even going to say much about him because obviously we did already. His mother, also we spoke about earlier, was Rebbetzin Sterna. His Rebbetzin, so here we'll talk a little bit about her, was Rebbetzin Shena, was the oldest daughter of Rabbi Yaakov. It was a Chassidus Shemalamed. And we mentioned one time he came to the Alter Rebbe and he was sad about it. He said, I can't concentrate because, you know, I have three daughters to marry off and I'm poor, I can't afford a dowry. And he said, I'll help you with one. And she became the Mittler Rebbe's Rebbetzin. Now, her husband, the Mittler Rebbe, was nistalik at the age of 54. 9 years later, one of her younger sons-in-law, Reb Aaron, passed away. And in 1846, so this is 10 years after that, his wife also passed away. And unfortunately, Rebbetzin Shena, this by now she's already 774 or something like that. She was left to take care of these two orphan daughters, Gittel and Rivka. Now, some years later, the first wife of her grandson, the Rebbe Marash, passed away 3 months after the wedding. We're going to get to that story in the Rebbe Marash. And after a few months, she tells her son-in-law, the Tzemach Tzedek, listen, I have these girls over here. Choose one for the Maharash. And eventually, one of them, Rivka, became Rebbetzin Rivka. On the day of the wedding, in 1849, this is 61 years after her own wedding, Rebbetzin Shena, so remember, she was married Be'erech at the age of 14, so, sorry, now she's 75, and Rebbetzin Shena was still healthy. She was working in the kitchen, preparing for the meal. A few years later, she was nistalik and buried in Lubavitch. Probably around 80. The Rebbe Maharash's older brother, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak, named his oldest daughter, Shena, after her. And we'll stop over there.